This is Jeff Davis with the Alignment Podcast, where we explore sales and marketing alignment strategy for B2B businesses. Make sure to visit jeffdavis2.com for all things alignment. Now let's talk about how to create togetherness. In this episode, I had the pleasure of speaking with Ted Corbeil, accomplished military veteran and business development professional. In our conversation, we discuss how he's leveraged his military experience to help him coach sales teams, his one team, one fight mantra for effective collaboration, and the difference between data and intelligence when informing strategy. With that said, let's jump into the episode. Ted, thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks, Jeff. Very excited to be here.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to dive into your military experience and talk about the themes that I feel are very transferable when you talk about sales and marketing alignment. Before we start that, why don't you tell us who you are and your background as far as the military and your transition into a corporate role, just so we can have context of your story?
Sure. Very happy to do that for you. So I'm a recently retired Marine Corps intelligence officer, and I've been leveraging my military experience to build and lead innovative sales enablement programs to drive revenue growth through data-driven insights, business innovation, and collaboration. So I did 23 years on active duty, retired in 2015, and now I've entered a second career in sales and sales enablement. So I did 1 year of sales for a systems integration firm specializing in industrial automation. Then I was recruited by Hewlett-Packard Enterprise last year to come and build a new client acquisition program, leveraging my military intelligence experience and targeting experience. Unfortunately, I was spun off in April when we formed DXE Technology, and now I've kind of bounced around a little bit. I was initially with our inside sales team doing sales strategy and designing sales campaigns for them before I joined our U.S. public cybersecurity practice recently in August.
So in your opinion, what skill set do you think that you use the most from your military experience to your current role as it pertains to, you know, aligning sales and marketing teams?
So as you heard from my brief introduction, I've had a wide range of experiences already in a short amount of time. And what I found is my niche. So my niche where I adapt my military best practices and experience are two main areas: focus and fusion.
Okay.
So what I mean by focus is I have an ability from years of training experience to begin everything with problem framing, mission analysis. So I do the work up front to identify what the desired outcome is, and then I backwards plan to ensure success. And I focus on execution level details. So it's not just high level strategy, it's all the way down to the tactical level. What are the execution level incremental steps we need to get to the desired end state? And the second area is fusion. So that's where my background as a military intelligence officer comes in. I have the ability to gather and prioritize information requirements. And then based on those requirements, I synthesize timely, accurate, and relevant data into actionable recommendations. Once again, I don't just compile data and hand it to someone. I do the assessment and I provide actionable recommendations. So where I add value is the focus into fusion, execution level planning, and actionable recommendations.
So I like this theme of fusion. So let's dive into that a little bit, because I think where many people are challenged, or many groups are challenged, is the data. And so stereotypically in misaligned organizations, sales and marketing are operating from two data sets. There is no crossover. Let's first talk about the importance of good data, and then let's go on to the difference between data and insights. So tell me, from your perspective, how critical is it for the sales and marketing team to have just good data?
Hey, we have an expression in the intel community: garbage in, garbage out, right? If you're doing data-driven decision-making and data-driven insights, if you're starting with bad data, then your recommendations and your insights are going to be bad, which is worse than no insights at all.
Yeah.
The good data is absolutely critical.
Do you have any data points or metrics that you stereotypically see that are really indicative of business success that should definitely be on somebody's radar as they're aligning their teams?
Yes. I mean, you want to have your metrics driven by requirements. So in the intel business, you know, people think that all data is good and the more data, the better. but that's not the case. It needs to be timely, relevant, and accurate data to really provide that value. So everything for me starts, going back to my military background, it starts with requirements driven. What is the decision you're trying to make? What is the action that I'm trying to support? And what is the information that you need so that I'm giving you timely, accurate, and relevant information to drive your decision and drive your operations? So it's important that you start with from a requirements driven approach first.
Yeah, I like that. Timely, accurate, and relevant. And I would add to that, how do you help us understand the difference between data and insight or data and intelligence? What is that delineation?
So for me, the delineation is, like I said, making it relevant to what you're saying. So for example, if you said, hey, Ted, I'm moving to Dallas area. I would like to buy a house for my family. And I gave you the listing of every house for sale in the state of Texas. That's not going to help you, right? Data, to be useful, it needs to be processed and put into context. So it needs to be timely, accurate, and relevant to the decision you're trying to make, or else it's counterproductive. So you don't just want to inundate someone with all the data you can possibly find. Some, at the end of the day, someone's going to have to synthesize, go through that, distill out the relevant the data points, and then fuse that together into a picture of what's actually going on. And that's what my military background comes from when I use the term fusion. You know, we have lots of disparate, unique data sources in military intelligence community. So we have imagery intelligence, and we have signals intelligence, and we have human intelligence. My job was, what is the information you try to need? And I piece all those together, and I provide you an actionable recommendation based on all of the sources of information I did. And when I'm supporting sales, the same thing happens, right? We have competitive intelligence. We have marketing intelligence. We have business intelligence. We have all this data, and sometimes we throw them out there on all these random SharePoint sites, or we put out standard reports, and we ask the sales reps to find all that data and then synthesize it to a point of view for their sales pursuit. I do that, you know, by creating a fusion center. I take all that information based on the sales team's requirements. I pull out the applicable, timely, accurate, and relevant information from marketing, from competitive intel, from business intelligence, and I make an actionable recommendation on how they should best engage that customer, whether it be a net new logo pursuit or an existing customer. So that's the difference between just inundating people with data, or even just putting it out there and say the data is out there, go find it, into actionable recommendations based on that fused insight.
So it sounds like as we engage with organizations that are looking to align, you know, sales and marketing, it really is trying to move people from just being quote unquote data driven to insights driven. That really is, it sounds like from what we're talking about, is the goal. So having all these different sources of data and having all these, you know, marketing automation and all these things is great. But if we can't figure out what the story is in that data, then it sounds like it may be either just useless or noise.
Exactly. I mean, the most important part is, what do you take away from the data?
Yep.
So you can have data-driven decisions, but if it's not focused, then it's not useful. So I used to tell my Intel Marines, you know, you can do all the research in the world, but if you can't convey it to the customer, right, in a orally or in writing in a clear manner by which they can use it, then you haven't done your job and you've wasted your time and theirs. So we tend to give these sales reps and sales teams all of this data and say, go for it. But at the end of the day, someone's got to decide how to use it. So if we can do that for them, they can focus their time and efforts on what they do best, and that's sales-related activities with the customer.
Yeah, I really like that. So let's transition into talking about collaboration. So when I learned about you and read your background, one of the things that popped out to me is that, you know, the military is really good about getting people on the same page, you know, all focused on one vision. Help us understand what it takes to really get people to collaborate well that may have different skill sets, may have different backgrounds. How do you do that?
It comes down to culture and mindset. You know, so in the military, especially in the Marine Corps, we have a team first mentality, right? So we're trained from the very, very get go in our initial entry level training and our onboarding, if you will. That's all about one team, one fight. You win together and you lose together. And we, in our warf, in our philosophy, our warfighting philosophy, we have something referred to as the main effort and the supporting effort. So the main effort is the primary bid for success, and everyone else is a supporting effort, which means you, everything you do, every decision you make, you're trying to do what you need to do to best support the main effort. So when I relay that to a sales context, and sales enablement or marketing, I view the sales is the CEO's primary bid for success to hit his revenue goals. Everyone else is a supporting effort. So if we come at it from that standpoint, from a one team, one fight, that their mission, their revenue targets is our mission, and then it helps drive your actions to be more purposeful. And the last thing is we have shared goals. Like I said before, our mission is everybody's mission. So that if we win or we lose together, so if it comes from a cultural and a mindset perspective, that's why you have high performing collaborative teams in the military.
I like that. And I like the concept of this main effort and supporting effort. And so my time as a marketer, I always, and I never obviously called it this, but I think this is really great context. The main effort is to achieve our revenue goals across sales, across marketing, whoever it is. We should have that one number that we're all driving to. And then the secondary effort is everything that I'm doing from strategy and tactics and all that stuff to make that happen. So I think if you put it in that context, you across the board, everybody's primary objective should be to hit, you know, whatever that target revenue is. And then we talk about what are those things that support from a secondary standpoint, us hitting those goals. Would that be accurate?
No, that is right on. That's exactly my approach now in my new career, is looking at it from that standpoint, right? You have revenue goals, which are the business objectives,
yep,
business goals. And then you have sales objectives, and then you have sales related activities. Those are all things that you can measure. Those are all metrics you can have behind the incremental steps to achieve that overall end state of hitting our revenue targets. So if you think of it, marketing is invaluable. They can focus the effort of the sales teams by producing high qualified, marketing qualified leads, so they can focus the targeting effort. And on top of that, they can be, you know, the supporting fires. So from a military perspective, you have artillery or air support that preps the battlefield. Just imagine if not only did you identify highly qualified leads to focus the sales efforts, but on top of that, you prepped it with messaging. You put the message out there, so the first time they're hearing about a product is not when the salesperson calls on them. They've already been prepped for, we've already laser focused the effort on exactly where the customer's need is. So it can be a force multiplier if marketing and sales alignment is just the way to go.
So how would you help leaders understand, because I think a lot of these organizations that fall into that traditional combative relationship between sales and marketing, this is a significant culture change. So how do you look at attacking a cultural change issue?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the culture. And when you're coming into it new, the first thing that I always do is assess the situation. So we switch roles every 3 years generally in the military. So you're always switching into a new role and into a new organization. Across the country or across the world. Mm. So we usually say, you know, for the first 90 days, you just observe. You keep your mouth shut and your eyes open, and you just observe so you can orient yourself to what's going on and identify what are the root issues that are causing this change. The second thing, you know, is once you've kind of done that, now you got to assess your place in the environment. You know, what's your sphere of influence? What can you affect and what can't you affect? And that'll help determine your approach to going about it. But honestly, what it's all about for me is you just lead by example. If you identify that the things that you think need to be changed, then you just be positive and you demonstrate those through your own behaviors.
Yeah.
You don't just sit around and complain. You take the initiative and you do something about it. And then finally, I would recommend, you know, crawl, walk, run approach. Don't try to sit down and plan this grandiose strategic plan of how you're going to change the culture. Identify a few small things that you can do differently right away. And then you don't waste your time trying to convince everyone of the plan. You might find a few people that are like-minded with you. And together, you just start doing it by example. And you see small wins add up to big wins. And before you know it, the culture is different. It's a gradual thing.
Yeah, I've had many conversations about this alignment effort, and people, even though I love to talk about the strategy and business transformation, the question always comes, well, what can I do tomorrow? And I think that's important. And while I don't want to just focus on tactical stuff, it can be simple things like inviting a marketing member to a sales kickoff and having them explain what they do and the campaigns that are coming up so that sales knows, you know, how is marketing supporting me? I've also told a lot of marketers that I speak with, get on a sales call, go out in the field with the sales team, get on the phone. Those are simple things that don't take a lot of strategic alignment to do that can start to change that culture so that you guys are, you know, understanding the worlds of your counterparts, which then, you know, creates empathy. So I like that you said that it's to focus on those small things that can have incremental change.
Exactly.
And then that'll lead to that more overall strategic alignment that we're trying to achieve.
I'll make it even simpler for you.
Yeah.
Provide feedback. If you're sales, provide feedback on a marketing product.
Mm.
Just imagine that. That's the one thing that I learned in the Intel community was we tend to produce a lot of products. And very few times does anyone ever take the time to provide feedback back to us. So if you provide a little bit of feedback, one, you tell the person that their work mattered, that someone actually used it, it had value. And guess what that person's going to do? They're probably going to defer and do a lot of their effort towards supporting you. And from marketing, same thing. There's nothing more frustrating than not knowing if someone's using your product or not. Reach out to the salesperson and ask for feedback. Was this helpful to you? What could be different? What was missing from it? You know, so now you have this continuous reinforcing cycle where now you start building that collaborative effort. You're asking for their requirements and they're giving you feedback on how well you fulfilled those requirements. And it become positive reinforcing effort. And that's how you build that team approach.
And I think to your point, this brings up the topic of what I, you know, have said from the beginning of my work. It is so critical and so crucial to have a feedback loop between sales and marketing. And in most organizations, there really is no way for sales to, in a formal way, give feedback on what is working and what is not working. I think that people probably on the sales front don't appreciate how much and how important the feedback from them is to marketing. Because if marketing doesn't, you know, is creating all this stuff and pushing it out there, and if they don't hear back, the assumption then for many teams is that it is working because no one has told me it's not working.
Exactly.
I think that's a misconception that people don't really understand, and that, you know, for most marketing teams that, you know, are driven to really support sales and really understand their role is to help sales sell more effectively, they should be open to getting, you know, we want you to tweak that, or we want you to get rid of that, or that should sound like this. And then working together to create better content.
Because a lot of times it doesn't require any more effort.
Yeah.
Right. If you're producing information in a certain format and it's not easy to use by the salesperson, a simple tweak doesn't require that much more effort to make it easier to use. And that's something that, you know, I learned in the Intel business. If we're making these fancy PowerPoint slides, Intel summaries, but the people would rather have it in a Word document where they can more easily cut and paste it and recycle some of that content. It could be something as simple as that, where you just ask that question and just general feedback and just have a 5-minute conversation. So feedback loops are very important, and it's built into our military planning cycle. So we plan, we brief, we rehearse, we execute, and we debrief. It's a cycle, and it feeds back in. And so sales pursuits are, you know, that's real world firsthand information with the customer. That should absolutely be fed back into marketing so they can refine their messaging and target more effectively. So it should be a collaborative effort. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people forget that, you know, most marketers don't have sales experience. So a lot of times it does come back to the context of how is this being used. If I've never had a bag or hit the street, I may not understand that while the content is good, the strategy is good, the mechanism in which I share this with my customer is not optimal. So can I make that tweak in order for my sales professional to actually use this in a way that's meaningful?
Exactly. Timely, accurate, and relevant. So it's funny you say that. So I'll share a quick story with you. So when I was brand new out of college, I was in Japan. My first job was a Target Intel officer, and I was supporting pilots to do mission planning against another country. So I was building these target packages, and I put all this information in there that I thought was relevant. So I had all of these ground-based photos of the building, the target building, and I put in this package, and I say, man, these things are awesome. So I sit down with a pilot, and the pilot looks at it, and he goes, Ted, I'm flying at 25,000 feet above their AAA and, you know, air defense systems. Do you really think I'm going to recognize that building, that target building, from a ground-based photo? And that's when we drove home the reality of requirements-driven products.
Yeah.
So now fast forward to, you know, HPE, I'm supposed to be building these target packages on net new logos. The first thing I did, learning from that experience, was sit down with a sales rep and say, what are your required information? What do you need to get into it? You know, they don't need all of this high-level company information. They need the buyers. Who is the actual people? You know, that is what the information they want to focus on. So now that focus your effort when you're providing that information to them. So it's all about understanding their requirements.
And that's why I think it's so critical and so important for sales and marketing leadership to sit down and talk about, what are we trying to achieve? What are those requirements so we can back into that and actually produce things that are relevant to what we're trying to achieve? Because otherwise, we're just guessing and we're, you know, throwing things in the wall and seeing what sticks.
Exactly. We use the expression self-licking ice cream cone in the Intel community. When you're making all these fancy Intel products for Intel's sake and no one's using them, we just refer to that as the self-licking ice cream cone.
I like it. I like it. I had never heard the expression before, but I like it. So with the little time we have left, I just want to ask you if there is one theme or thing that you want executives, leadership, to keep top of mind as they're trying to better align sales and marketing, what would that be?
My key takeaway is no one doubts the value of the alignment between sales and marketing. I don't think anyone argued with that. So my key takeaway for executives that want to move forward with an alignment project is simple. Inspect what you expect. You have to drive that alignment from the top. If that's what you want, then you need to give clear guidance and expectations that that's what you want. You have to incentivize good behaviors, and then you need to hold people accountable for not doing it. It's straight up leadership 101.
I love it. Well, Ted, I really, really enjoyed our time together today. I think that your insights from being in the military for as long as you have, I think is extremely useful. And I hope that leadership, as well as others in the organization, take away what I took away as far as helping us better align sales and marketing. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for listening to the episode. Don't forget to visit me at jeffdavis2.com and follow me on Twitter at jeff_davis2. Did today's conversation resonate with you? Then share with your colleagues to help the Alignment Podcast grow. Join us for the next episode where we continue to talk about how to create togetherness.